This podcast is a 3D audio production, so watch out as sounds may seem to come from beside you or behind you. For the best listening experience, please use headphones.
The days might be feeling longer now that the sun is setting later, but that unfortunately does not mean that I actually have more time in the day. And that's why I love Factor's ready-to-eat meals. They make it so easy to eat stress-free this spring with their fresh, never-frozen, chef-crafted meals that are ready to eat in just 2 minutes in the microwave. And these are no ordinary microwave meals, let me tell you. They have truly delicious options. I just had this loaded bacon, chicken, and spinach meal that was so tasty. And you can even try meals with premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, broccolini. My mouth's just watering thinking about it. Factor eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up, so it kind of does feel like you're adding some time back to your day. If you'd like to try it out for yourself, head to factormeals.com/orphanblack50 and use code orphanblack50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code orphanblack50 at factormeals.com/orphanblack50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. In the climate-ravaged world of 2072, the city of Piura stands as a miraculous green haven. Piura is a geoengineered paradise that protects its fortunate residents from the global catastrophes of heat domes, fires, floods, and droughts. In a time when the world outside is unsafe, it's vital for Piura's existence that people rally behind the purpose of the city, and Demetria Lopez, head of the city's public relations, tirelessly promotes its idyllic image. But when she stumbles on a dark secret that, if exposed, would be the downfall of Piura's existence, she must decide who and what she's willing to protect. From Wondery, the makers of Academy and Dr. Death, The Last City stars actors Ray Seahorn, Jeannie Tirado, and Maury Sterling. Follow The Last City on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Last City early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Hey, Clone Club. This is Marco Palmieri, producer of Realm's Orphan Black, The Next Chapter. And I just want to say, as a huge fan of the Orphan Black TV series, it's been an absolute joy to continue the Sestra's saga in audio drama form. And I want to thank you all so much for supporting our podcast. We'll be back with the next episode on December 30th, but in the meantime, we wanted to share a sneak peek of a special bonus episode with you. One of the benefits of subscribing to Realm Plus on Apple Podcasts is special access to full bonus episodes like this one, along with ad-free listening and early access. We hope you enjoy this sneak peek of the Orphan Black The Next Chapter reunion panel with Tatiana Maslany, Jordan Gavaris, Evelyn Brochu, and Christian Broom.
So look, I want to take you all back, if I may, to where it all sort of began. Season one, that's where we're going in the time machine. We're going in the DeLorean, Doc Brown's DeLorean. We're setting up for 2013. I remember moderating the Comic-Con panel out in San Diego right after season one had aired. And then Tat and Jordan, you guys were there. And it was a madhouse. It was crazy because it was booked in a way too small room. Because when it was booked, the show hadn't taken off yet, right? Well, in advance, by the time the panel happened, it was bananas. So people were camped out waiting to get in. And, you know, I've moderated a lot of panels in Hall H with 8,000 people plus, but I've never felt anything like the energy in that much smaller room back in 2013, right as this show was kicking into serious gear. And I'm curious to hear from you guys, what was your first indication that there was a very intense and committed fan base and that this was more than just a show to a lot of them? Because you guys make the show and you're kind of in a bubble when you do it. And then, you know, some reviews come out and people like it and this and that. But this had a connection to fans that I've very rarely seen. Tatiana, what was sort of the first time you sort of were made aware of that?
I feel like it was a collision of a lot of moments that first Comic-Con, like stepping out at Nerd HQ and feeling that energy of like a crowd of people who knew the show. And then and I think I've spoken about this before and I'm just remembering it now, but like people dressed up in very esoteric versions of the characters that only would make sense if you were like dedicated to the show. And then just like, I think just incrementally as we went on hearing from more people, hearing like the ways the characters impacted them. I have a book right now that someone wrote about, like, it's like, I think a dissertation on Orphan Black and sexuality and gender in it and all of this. And so I think it's like, I'm still, you know, contending with the amount, you know, like the impact that it had. And it's like, it's amazing. It's still, you know, shocking. It's still nuts, but I get it. Like I, you know, I know there are things that I watch that I'm like, oh, thank God there's this. Cause like, there's my sense of humor, or there's like the way my brain works, or there's a person I've never seen before on screen that I'm like, oh, cool. Like that's possible. You know, it's, I think that's like the most powerful thing that TV can do, or storytelling can do.
What about for the rest of you? Any of you have those moments?
I remember the first time I got recognized for the show. I was at a winery. I was on a wine tour and I was buying some wine, and it was like the summer after the first season aired. And so at the end of first season, Donnie was a bad guy. He turned out to be, you know, Allison's monitor. So, and that quickly falls apart, but in season two, but it was between seasons and I was checking out, I was buying a couple bottles of wine, and the lady at the cash register was like, "You look familiar. I know you from somewhere." "Oh, you bastard." And she got like, all of a sudden, like when she realized who I was, and I was like, it's just a character. It's just a character. But I was very shocked and surprised, and it was in front of my friends. So it was extra embarrassing, but,
the weirdest then, part is she wasn't recognizing you from TV.
Oh, funny.
Jordan, I feel like any sort of in-person interaction with you would involve them like freaking out over you not being British.
Yeah, yes. It's become quite the parlor trick. I think the weirdest part was when I did like a fan event in the UK, and that's always, you know, accents are always a point of contention. The idea that anyone from the UK like bought into me being British was both a tremendous relief, because accents are scary, and also just like a total compliment and like some of the most fun fan interactions I've had, because we just end up talking about regional dialects for 10 minutes. But similarly to Tat, I think it was the Nerd HQ panel that we did at Comic-Con that first year, because you do make a show in a vacuum. And I think everybody was, and maybe this is, maybe I'm assuming too much, but I think everyone sort of assumed it was kind of a little show. We didn't have a lot of money. We didn't really know how the broadcast was going to work. Whether or not people would see it at all would just be a miracle. I think everybody sort of assumed, yeah, we'll maybe get a couple of seasons and we're going to have a lot of fun. But no expectations met with such an incredible reaction from all of the audience members that just threw me for such a loop. I kind of feel like we also got very emotional at the Nerd HQ panel. Like we were all about to burst into tears because it was just so unexpected. We didn't expect anything from anyone. So to get all of that energy coming at you was just shocking.
Mm. Let's fast forward 5 years now. And what was it like then having to say goodbye to the characters the first time? I know you're all actors. I know you're used to moving on from roles, you know, but these are people you played for an extended period of time. And this was also a project that was really big for your careers. Evelyn, we'll start with you. What was it like when you had to, at that point, say goodbye to Delphine?
It's strange. I don't feel like I've said goodbye yet. Because I feel like it lives on in a way. I feel like people carry those characters. I feel like because it's on platforms that people can access, they go back to it. I think new fans are joining into Clone Club. And with, you know, these the project that we're doing now. It's, you know, it's still alive, and I feel like we're getting still so much feedback and so much positive energy still from it, that in it, and I think it gives a lot of positive energy to people still. So yeah, I haven't said goodbye, I think, yet.
Was it emotional for any of you? Yeah, when you were, you know, wrapped after season 5? Tell me about that.
Go for it. I was just going to say, like, the night, like, the very last night of shooting, everybody had kind of agreed and hung out and stayed late. I actually left. I think I was like, I have to catch a flight, or I have to do something.
It was 4 in the morning when they wrapped, and we were all getting on a flight that morning at like 8 to go to LA.
But you stayed, other people stayed. I just couldn't do the, and I didn't know that at the time, but I was like, no, I can't. I don't want to be here for the last moment. I'm not good at that. I don't want to say goodbye. I'm not interested in that. So I took off early and pretended that wasn't happening. But I did go. I just didn't want to be there for like the moment. I don't know why. I think it was really sad to say goodbye to something that meant so much to us.
Wow. Isn't it cool to hear the gang back together again? Hear the full conversation, plus get other benefits like ad-free listening and early access when you join Realm Plus on Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening, Clone Club.